Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our church anniversary and Harvest Festival service. We're 117 today. Do you feel it?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. But it's good, isn't it, to come and to worship and to give thanks, not only for the church community here, and as I say every year, the one that started back over in Green Street before they moved here, and also to give thanks for the harvest and for the gifts, and we will be bringing them forward during the service, so hang on to them just for a little bit longer. But it's been good, isn't it, to look around the land and see the fields being harvested, and hopefully the farmers are happy. Anyone who watches Country File, you'll know the trauma they go through. Is their grain good enough? Has it got contaminated? Is it wet? You know, we don't think about that, do we? We just open up our Weetabix and away we go. Or cereal of your choice. But again, we remember that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and so we give thanks back to God. And also to remember the state of our state of the world and the creation. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know what my brain's like, it goes off on one every now and again, and I was thinking, you know, we give thanks, don't we, for our harvest and everything else. But, you know, those countries that have been flooded lately and lost their crops and lost their land, and, you know, those of us who use the Open Doors prayer diary, that, you know, people's land is taken away from them because they're Christians. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're not just giving thanks for what we have, but you're praying into the situations of people around the world. Why do we celebrate the Harvest Festival? I tell you every year. Anybody? Yeah, to give thanks. Yeah. But it also ties in with a Jewish festival. Oh, it's got something to do with God stuff. Sukkot, festival of... Yep. Feast of the Tabernacles. So, yeah, so all the Jewish people would go up to Jerusalem, and the Festival of Booths or Shelters, it's called sometimes. So they used to build the little, still do, the little houses, and then they decorate them. So it's kind of what Pip has done with the church, really. He made it into our own little booth, our own little shelter. But they're actually celebrating that festival started on Friday. And they'll celebrate right through till the next Friday. And I always love it when our Harvest Festival falls bang in the middle of the Jewish celebration. It makes it feel almost more biblical, doesn't it? We go all the way back to Exodus. We're not going back there today. In the beginning of the Bible. Not now, we've made it all the way to Daniel. But as I pray today, we're going to use the Christian Aid prayers for harvest. And as I said, during the service, we'll bring our gifts forward. So, as we pray, Creator God, you make us welcome. We are the work of your hand. You give us life in all its fullness. May our hearts and our minds, our prayers and actions be shaped by your will and inspired by your love. Amen. So we'll join together and sing 106. Come, you thankful people, come.
Thank you.
Are you nicely warmed up? And now I'd ask for those of you that have your harvest kits, if you'd like to bring them forward. If you're not able to, if you feel like you'd like someone to come and get it, just put your hand up and somebody more able-bodied perhaps will come and assist. Yes, thank you. Assist. Just chuck them on the table or leave them. It's up to you. Michelle's in charge.
Making them look beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. Fiercely independent. Fiercely independent. Yeah. Need assistance? You're all fiercely independent and it's like, no, I will bring it myself. Thanks, Louise. Bless you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we see the table laden with goods, we give thanks. We give thanks for all that you have given to each one of us, for our homes, for our food, for our families, for our friends. And Lord, we bless you for this place and thank you for the years of witness that we've been in here and those that have been before us, those that are here now and those that are to come. Lord, we give thanks for our weekly offering that although we don't take it up in the building, Lord, that is offered every week, Lord, and we pray that you would show us the best use for it. We pray for the work of Wickham Women's Aid, Lord, who will benefit from these gifts. And we just ask, Lord, that you will be with them and those who seek to serve in that way. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So you will notice that you were handed a piece of paper and a pencil when you came in. So you know what I'm like for wandering around and walking and looking and seeing and doing. And it's only when you really start to look, isn't it, that you notice the abundance of nature. And as somebody writes, if you read some of the hedgerow place things, articles or whatever, it says they are an incredibly undervalued resource that are in danger of being lost from our countryside if we don't start to appreciate their usefulness as well as their importance for biodiversity and landscape character. Ooh. So we're going to appreciate the hedgerows a bit more. But as I've been looking around, and who's been picking blackberries, apples, anything else? Maybe tell me later. Raspberries from the hedgerows. from your own garden. I was going to say, where are they? Tell me. They're my favourites. But it is, isn't it? It's free, healthy food, and it's there. And you can kind of understand then when Jesus said to the people, you know, don't worry. You know, don't worry, the birds don't worry. You know, they're busy, aren't they, at the moment, and harvesting, ready to hibernate. But what do we notice when we're walking around? Are we too busy going about our own business to actually really, really look? And Google Lens has become my new best friend. If I don't know what something is, I Google Lens it. So if anyone doesn't know what that is, you have a little thing on your search bar, looks like a camera, it's the best way to describe it, isn't it? And if you click on it, it says, do you want to use the lens or do you want to use your pictures? And it tells you what it is, sometimes. I remember one incident. I was walking with friends and we were discussing crops in a field, and I thought, and we weren't quite sure what they were. It wasn't the bog standard wheat, it was something else. And so I Google lensed it and came back and said, bison. And it didn't matter how hard I looked in that field, I did not see bison anywhere. So for what's about to happen, we better start praying. But as I say, sometimes you just have to use common sense. But as I say, it's a good tool. It's become my new best friend. And I like the word forage. Do you like the word forage? Yeah, it's one of them words. I feel like, what's her name? It says, you don't like it. Oh, Debbie. You don't know where you're putting your feet. It'd be my hands I'd be more worried about, to be honest. I'll show you a picture later. It means to go from place to place searching for things that you can eat or use. Mm. So, I have some pictures for you, 1 to 20. You're going to have to move. And what I want you to do is just write on your piece of paper what you think they are. If there's lots of stuff going on, then I'll, I won't say what they are because they're obvious. You've got a bit of hedgerow with it. Okay. So it's the black things. Who's shouting out the answers? Tony? Oh, is he helping? That's what I'm asking you. What is that? I've had a lovely time. It's a white flower, yeah. It's the white stuff. The red things. It's a good eye test for you lot, isn't it? I should have put up eye things. The pink things. The black things. Did everyone hear that? Seven. Oh, this one's number 8. No. Well, I've never done that, no. The whole thing, including the white flowers, the green, the lighter green. Number 10. You might want to give them time to write. The brain and the hands are not working together. Legitimately. It's the little whitey pink thing, not the bee that's on it. Oh, no. It's the leafy stuff, particularly the lighter leaf. You've given up. Do you not get out much? Oh, slow down, Nigel. The old people at the front can't keep up. Yeah, the red things. That's number 16, 17. The green thing with the yellow bits. The pink thing with the yellow bits on. Last one. Hey! Everybody's like, yeah, got at least one. Solid three. No. Okay, so going back to the beginning, can we? Thank you. Right, so what do we think that is? Blackberries. Do we know the use of blackberries? Jam. Crumble. Just eating them where you're there, yeah. Just crumble, yeah. So jam, jelly, crumbles, pies. Yeah, they're also medicinal. Yeah. Bird food. Okay, the next one. Elderberries. Yeah. Usage. The thrushes love them. Yeah. What do we use the flowers for? Wine, cordial, yeah. Can use them in tea as well. And they're also medicinal. Next one. And I'll take any variation of old man's beard, thistle down, milk thistle. Anyone else? Any different? Anything? Okay, any usage? Good for your liver. Really? What do you do with it? What do you do with it? Do you have to cook it? Oh. Okay. Nobody leave this place until we're totally sure. It's also a herbicide, so you can actually scatter the thistle down over, and that's what it does. It actually keeps some of the weeds down. So when you see a lot of it, that's what it's there for. Okay, the next one. You think wild garlic? Side daisy? Sorry? That wasn't what came up on the lens. It said hogweed or cow parsnip. Now, did you? You said parsnip.
No, I said upside down.
Yeah, but as I say, you can cook it, and it is also medicinal. Right, the next one. Rose hips. Yeah, any advance on rose hips? What do we use rose hips for? Syrup.
Put down your nose.
Really?
You really didn't know that?
No. No. I went to a girls' school. We didn't do things like that. All right. Never knew I was going to take a confessional. Has anyone done that at school?
Yeah.
Just besides the naughty front row? Never knew that at all. So, yeah. So, oil, tea, syrup, jelly. Also medicinal. And you like this one, you can be used for anti-aging. So we're all going to rush out now. Okay, next one. All right, according to Google Lens, common yarrow. It's used as a herb. It's medicinal and can be used for toothache. Common yarrow. Next. Sloes, yeah. Did anyone put blackthorn? Same. Usage? Gin. Okay. Soul usage, gin. Didn't actually come up as medicinal, actually, but medicinal gin, yeah, I get you, yeah. Jam and jellies for the non-drinkers amongst you. Next one. Pardon, Anne? Convolvulus. And what is its English name? Yes. That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you. I knew you two would know. I was relying on you two knowing. Yeah, so this is, it can come in white or pink form. It's field bindweed. Usage? You can actually use its flower for tea. So although we'd go, oh, bindweed, and you know there's a big thing about bindweed and getting rid of it, its flowers can be used for tea. It is medicinal, thank you, Marcus. It can be used as a laxative. So far I've sorted out your anti-aging, your toothache, and your bowel problems. Next one, thanks, Nigel. That was polite, wasn't it? Right, so what's that with its flower? We don't often see it with its flower, I don't. Yes, nettles. What particular sort of nettle?
Stinging.
Stinging variety. It's the white dead nettle. They don't sting when they're flowering, no. Thank you, Joe. And you can steam their leaves for tea. Yeah, it's quite nice, actually. And Marcus? It is, thank you. They do have nettle soup, yeah. Yeah. Did anyone see the country's nettle eating competition? Ugh. Anyway, next one, otherwise we won't be out for lunch. Dog rose, did you say? Yeah, anyone else? Sorry, Joy. It did come up as hollyhock, but when I examined the stem, I realised that it wasn't. It's come up as common hibiscus, rose mallow, and of course, why did you not know that? And can be used as for marshmallow. It is medicinal, and it can also be used for decoration. Hibiscus. Okay, the thing that the bee is on. It is a thistle, yeah? A flower. It's a creeping thistle, and actually one of the plants that insects absolutely adore, and I have to say, when you go walking and you look at the thistles, it's usually got loads of bees, butterflies and stuff. It is medicinal, and again, can use it for toothache. Okay, the little lighty leaves more so at the front. It's chervil, evidently. Evidently. Again, it's a herb used for flavouring, and it's medicinal. This is my personal favourite. Has anyone seen that before? You just look at it and go, that's nice. It's called rose gall, also known as Robin's pincushion. Isn't that lovely? And you can hang it around your neck. And it's medicinal. But I wouldn't hang it with the thorns still attached. Okay. Another herb. Actually came up as marjoram. It also came up as oregano at one point, but again, I examined closer. So marjoram, it's a herb and it's medicinal. Not sure if that actually should be in the middle of a field, but it was. What was that? No. It's very pretty, I thought. verbascum, great mullein, medicinal, including treatment for migraines. So I'm going to give that a crack. Okay. That was pretty, wasn't it? No, they were a lot smaller than that, really little. Cotton Easter. Yeah, we heard of that? No, you lot are going to have to get out more. You can get vitamins from its fruit and it's medicinal. First ones of the season. Any particular sort?
Wild.
Sorry, Elizabeth?
Was it a wild pansy?
No, they're mushrooms or fungi. This is the common cavalier, evidently. And they are severely poisonous. Don't eat them. We're now foraging on the coastline. Bit of a clue. What do you find in the rocks in the coastline? Yeah. Rock samphire. Yeah. Yeah, evidently in a lot of the posh restaurants, it's highly sought. And you can use its leaves in soup, sauces, pickles and salads. And it's medicinal. And very salty. And so, yeah, the pink things, again, I'm not entirely sure it should have been in the hedgerow, but it's found its way there.
Is it a honeysuckle?
Yeah, it is honeysuckle. Yeah, yeah. And again, it's medicinal. And the one that you all know is a definite point. Horse chestnut, conkers, yeah, whatever you want to call them. Unfit for human consumption, but eaten by cattle, deer, and horses. I think what I thought was really nice is that they can be ground up and given to horses as cough medicine, and to give them a shiny coat. So if anyone wants a shiny coat, what else can you use conkers for?
Playing
conkers. Keep away spiders. Keep away spiders. And also, they can be used as natural mothballs. So, do you feel educated now?
Yes.
Are you going to have your eyes open when you wander around the fields? I don't know about you, but as I was walking around, and I do a lot of that, as you know, and, you know, taking the pictures and thinking about different things and obviously checking, because, as I say, Google Lens sometimes comes up with some very obscure names for things. But I did think it made me look differently at what I'm seeing and think a bit differently. Who knew that most of that list was medicinal? You know, and I'm sure years ago when they used to forage in the countryside that people knew. But it's something we forget, isn't it? Because we just go along to the pharmacy and get our tablets given to us. But it's God's beautiful creation. That's why he tells everyone not to worry. He's got everything in hand. And the things that I may have dismissed before because I think they're a nuisance, like nettles and bindweed, are actually something beautifully created by God. And they have their uses. And as we think about the healing qualities of what some of them bring, I'm going to be cracking out to get the anti-aging ones. That Jesus told his disciples that they needed to be out in the world. He said he would make them fishers of men, and I want to make you foragers of people. Forage means to scavenge, to hunt, to search, to look, to explore, seeing beyond what we think we know, and view the world through God's eyes, and we can ask him for his help. Let's pray. God of creation, we give thanks for the earth, for its diverse habitats, and for the earthly beauty that reflects your divine glory. We confess the ways that we have not respected the gift of the earth: deforestation, species extinction, the climate crisis. Loving God, move us beyond despair. Turn us towards action. God of creation, we give thanks for the soil, for the life it sustains and the abundance it yields. We confess the ways we have not respected the gift of the soil: over-cultivation, dumping waste, aggressive mining. Loving God, move us beyond despair. Turn us towards action. God of creation, we give thanks for water, for its cleansing freshness, quenching our thirst. We confess the ways we have not respected the gift of water, plastic pollution, overfishing, chemical poisoning. Loving God, move us beyond despair, turn us towards action. God of creation, instill in us a spirit of repentance that we may act to protect, to heal and cherish the earth, the soil and the water. Transforming God, who brought the world into being through your word, making visible what was invisible, hear us as we pray in faith. In a world where resources are not shared equally, where crops fail and parents go without to feed their children, in a country where too many rely on food banks to get by, we ask that our faith will help us to feed the hungry. In the midst of wars and conflicts, where neighbours attack neighbour and the innocent suffer most, we ask for that our faith will bring peace between nations. In the face of a climate emergency where land is scorched or flooded and habitats destroyed, we ask that our faith will protect God's creation. Lord, we stand in a long line of people of faith as we celebrate our anniversary today. We pledge ourselves to your service and to working for a transformed world. We ask that our faith will leave a legacy. Merciful God, you have promised to hear our requests. We pray for the coming of your kingdom of justice and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Shall we say the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's sing number 732, We Plough the Fields and Scatter.
We plough the fields and scatter.
In our Bible reading this morning, it gives us a wide-ranging overview of Jesus' earthly teaching and his preaching ministry. It describes Jesus' great compassion while looking out over crowds of people who have come to see him. And so I'll ask Dot if she'll give us our reading, please.
Our reading this morning is on page 974 and is Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. 974. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Amen.
Hopefully our previous activity will encourage us perhaps to look around a bit more, to change our opinion on what we think we can see, see God's beautiful creation in through his eyes, and declare that yes, God is good, and his creation also, as God himself said, it is good. Do we look at people that we encounter with compassion? Or are they just people who get in our way, in the queues, and in the pavement, and in the cars? Do we look at people with compassion? Do we see them as sheep without a shepherd? Are we thankful enough, concerned enough, loving enough, and excited enough to share the good news of the kingdom of God with them? As we heard that passage read, Jesus could have spent every waking hour healing and teaching. There was no shortage of people who needed the gospel of the kingdom proclaimed to them. In his earthly existence, Jesus was limited by his human body. He could not be everywhere at once. And I maintain that if Jesus couldn't, then nor can I. Nor could he meet every need, and he grew tired and hungry. I think it's lovely when the Bible describes how Jesus was feeling both emotionally and physically. And so practically speaking, he needed others to go out and to proclaim the gospel. We read that people are the harvest, lost souls waiting to be saved and brought into God's kingdom. The problem is not that there are not enough people to harvest, but there are not enough labourers to do the work. It's a passage that sometimes we get a bit ooh about because it means, oh, I've got to do something. We have been called by God to be harvesters, to be foragers this morning, that's your new role, to accomplish the task. We need the right attitude, the right perspective and responsibility. How green-fingered are you? Some of you looking at your hands going, yeah, no, no. Who plants something and it just dies? In fact, who's given up planting something because it just dies? Who plants something and it actually, or if you get a plant, does it actually flourish because of your tender, loving care? Dot's a flourisher, that's good. I always think that the plants in my house, they survive on neglect. They're still alive. It's only when they go, ooh, water me, that I think, oh, I better water you. I have one that actually its leaves just go, pfft. So I think, okay, they all need a water then. But, you know, you prepare the soil, don't you? Or you get a pot and you place the soil in it. And then you need water and light. Some plants prefer less light than others. There's my expertise coming in. And, of course, we need the seeds. There's no point trying to have a pot with water and light if you don't put anything in it. Although, have you noticed that when you use some compost that it actually, it's something lives in it? It's like, what's that? I didn't plant that. I remember watching somebody once planting a bulb, and rather than having the roots at the bottom, they planted it upside down. Now, I'm sure that the bulb itself will have just thought, well, do you know what, I'll just shoot out where I want to. But I just thought, you know, there's a little bit of common sense involved, isn't there? If you've got roots, surely plant the roots down first. Everyone's going, really? Wow, learned something else this morning. Sorry if that was you. And in the parables that Jesus told, we're familiar with the fact that he presented the gospel as seed and people as the soil. And one of my favorite verses in 1 Corinthians, where Paul is talking to some of his other people, and there's a bit of a disagreement. There's a lot of disagreements in the Corinthian church. But he tells how some believers plant the seed of the gospel. Some water that seed, but it is God who gives the increase. It's one of my favorite verses. Some plant the seed, some water the seed, but it is God who gives the increase. And so as believers, we should be aware that we are supposed to be sharing the gospel, the good news. If it was good news for us, then why don't we not want to share good news? News is full of bad news, is it not? To the point that sometimes I have to switch off. But I'm sure that if we're honest with ourselves, most of us would confess that probably we don't share the good news of Jesus as much as we should or could. We're happy to share the weather, our aches and our pains, our football teams. We'll do that later. But there's so many things, aren't there, that prevent us from sharing the gospel or potential of not sharing the gospel, if we're honest with ourselves. And I think probably for most of us, it's fear. If I talk Jesus to this person, I don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, we're told when we're planting, just plant the seed. I know when I've been teaching, I don't know how many hundreds of girls over the years in Girls Brigade, I don't know what happened to the seeds I planted for Jesus. I know some were baptized. I know some have gone into ministry. But what about the others? I have no idea. That's God's business. Perhaps we feel we don't know enough. Perhaps it's our lack of knowledge. Perhaps it's the upside down bulb. But God will provide the increase. Perhaps it's the uncertainty. What if I mess it up? What if the one thing I say to that person turns them off God forever? It happens. It's like me forgetting to water my plants. I have to wait for the signs that they're drooping before I decide to do something about it. But as I say, my plants flourish on neglect. Because praise God, it's not about us. It's about God giving the increase. All we are doing is planting and watering the seed. That response of the soil is not our responsibility. That's God's business. We can make all the excuses that we want to. It doesn't change the reality that we are called to be harvesters. As we look upon our community, our town, our world, there is so much need for the love of God in all of the nations. So we need that same spirit of compassion that we saw in Jesus. We can't control our circumstances, but we can control our attitude. We need to have compassion for the lost and the broken and the hurting. Jesus goes to every city and village he can, teaching, preaching, and healing people. Why? Because he had compassion on them. Jesus is so moved with compassion, and I think I've told you before that if you get into the Greek words, it actually says it physically affected him. So perhaps you need some of our plants for earlier, but it actually made him physically want to do something. It moved him deep inside. And so he understands that, as we should, that it's helping the weary and those that are scattered. Jesus saw the multitude. He didn't just look at them. He saw them with understanding. A bit like when you go out now walking in your hedgerows, you will look at whatever and go, I know what it is because Sharon told me. Well, Google Lens told you. It's so easy, isn't it, when we see somebody in front of us to judge or to leap in with a solution because we can help. We know what you need. It's like the doctors or even my role. It's only when you ask certain questions do you really find out what's going on. Someone said, life without Christ is like a life without purpose, and a life without purpose is exhausting. And that's where we get that sense of weariness that Jesus shares. They need good news. They need to hear about the shepherd who loves them. Jesus continues to say, and we read it last year for harvest, the harvest is plentiful. Look at the fields. They are white. That's not anything to do with colour of hair. That is the fact that that shows that the harvest is ready. And this year, the harvest is plentiful. It's the labourers who are few. The harvest is plentiful. It gives us that idea of abundance, of being so much that you can't fail to see it. And you can't, can you? When you're walking around the fields, you can see, can't you? When you can almost tell the farmer his harvest has done well because you see it. It's in front of your face. And if a person owns a farm, there are two problems that they might encounter. And I used to have the same problem when I was in industry, that we used to have to budget for labour for expected sales. So if we thought the sales were going to be so much, that's how many people we needed in the warehouse to pick the goods. And for a farmer, the first thing is that they might hire a lot of people to work in the fields, but there would not be enough work to keep them busy. What if the sales fail? We've got all those people waiting to pick stuff and there's nothing there. The second might be that there is so much to harvest that they just can't find enough people to do the work. And that's the same set of problems that we find within our church. The scenario, there might be so many volunteers that the needs are fully met and many of the helpers just stand around with nothing to do. Alternatively, there might be so many needs that everyone who turns out to work is stretched to the max, where many needs remain unmet. I think most of us, if we're honest, would say the reality is actually the second one. In Matthew 10, Jesus sends out the disciples, that's what we read after the passage we've just heard, to begin the harvest. He follows it up with the Great Commission in Matthew 28. We're all to work in the harvest. As Paul said, he himself planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And then Jesus says, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Prayer is our first responsibility. Prayer should be our first response, not our last resort. This applies to everything in life, including sharing the gospel. Do we have a list of people that we're praying for? That we're pleading with God for an opportunity to share Christ with them? The harvest belongs to the Lord. We plant, we water. God gives the increase. As harvesters, as foragers, we are asked to be compassionate and understanding. But the problem is not with the harvest. It is plentiful. The problem is that we need more labourers. So as we leave today, we have to remember the truths as we've read them, that all who believe are harvesters, and the harvest is plentiful. And so we commit that I will be a harvester. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, at this harvest time, we give thanks for the bounties of the world you created, for our food and all those who grow, harvest, and transport it. As we've just heard your message, your call, open our hearts as we consider how to live out our faith and share the generosity we have received with others, that our values might live on and we may leave a legacy that transforms the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we prepare our hearts to gather around our Lord's table, we'll sing number 153, "For the Fruits of His Creation, Thanks Be to God." We come, trusting in God's grace and mercy and love, longing to know and to learn more about God's ways. We come in thanks for his provision for life, that he gives us life in abundance, that he gave us Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Lord of all life, you created the universe where all living things reflect your glory. You give us this great and beautiful earth to discover and to cherish. You give us the fish in the sea, the birds of the air, and every plant and tree. The life that sleeps in the winter earth and awakens us again in the spring. You made us all, each wonderfully different, to join with the angels and proclaim your praise. And so as we pray, you might hear some familiar words as we've just sung the last hymn. And so when we get to that point, if you can just respond back, thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father Almighty, Creator of all, it is indeed right to bring you thanks and praise all year round. Your glory is made known in the beauty and wonder all around us. Your amazing love is seen in the bounteous providence of nature. You have spoken, and this world came into being, bursting with life. For the fruits of his creation, together, thanks be to God. Everlasting God, sower of the word, you have spoken to your people in season and out of season, through prophets, priests, and kings, through holy families and faithful saints. Your word has been our nourishment throughout the ages, like honey to the lips. And supremely, tangibly, and comprehensibly, you have spoken through your Son, the Saviour of the world, for his gifts to every nation together. Thanks be to God. King of the heavens, grower of the vine, we thank you that Jesus lived among us, walking with his friends as they plucked grain from the wayside, breaking bread with the hungry on a hillside, overseeing a great harvest of fish at the lakeside. With us, for us, as one of us, the Lord of life given for us. Most of all, that love has found us together. Thanks be to God. Amen. We come to the familiar passage as Jesus, even at the moment that he knew that he would be arrested, showed his care for his disciples in the words that we read in Matthew. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to it for it, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." He goes on to say, "I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in the Father's kingdom." And so in the silence, let's just ponder those words that Jesus said as we think about the bread, his body broken for each one of us, the wine, the new covenant, forgiveness, renewal, God's kingdom to come. We continue in prayer. Gracious God, we trust totally in you as we trust in no other. You are the creator of all things, and our life depends on you moment by moment. You give us breath and we respond with songs of praise and hymns of adoration. You give us truth and we teach others your word and try to model your ways. You give us eternal life, and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, with all who will listen. You fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we love others as you have loved us. You call us your friends, and we seek to be friends with the friendless. In all things, we completely depend upon you. Do not rest secure in our own strength or wisdom. draw us closer to you and enable us to live more faithfully as followers of our Lord Jesus Christ as we walk in your Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, rain down your love and grace upon us. As we gather at your table, offering the cup and bread, bring us into full communion as the body of Christ. Make us one with our risen Lord as we celebrate this sacrament in his presence. Lord, as we take this bread, we remember that you are the bread of life. You feed our souls. You nourish our hearts, and you give us sustenance to run the race before us. Amen. And so as you receive the bread, please take and eat as a sign of your individual response to the Lord. It is for all people that our Saviour's body was broken, that we might be made whole. The bread of life given for you, may you know its purpose and its goodness. When you receive the cup, please retain it, and we'll drink together as a sign of our unity in Christ's family. Lord, as we drink this cup, we remember that you are the giver of life. You are forgiveness. You bring deep peace to our souls, and your love flows within us. It is for all people that our Saviour's blood was shed that we might be healed. The blood of Christ shed for you. May you know the peace of his forgiveness. Amen. Let's pray. Lord of the harvest, with joy we have offered thanksgiving for your love in creation and have shared in the bread and the wine of the kingdom. By your grace, plant within us a reverence for all that you give us and make us generous and wise stewards of the good things that we enjoy, that we would want to be harvesters, foragers, that we would seek people, find them, and show compassion as you showed each one of us compassion. We thank you and pray these prayers through your Son, Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's continue as our praise as we sing number 786. Yes, God is good. And we'll sing with attitude. God, we thank you for the gifts that spring forth all around us, bursting up from the soil, flowing from our fellowship, growing from our actions in your name. Inspire us with your Spirit. Encourage us to seek new ways to stand up to injustice and speak up for those in need. Send us out, replenish, that we may do the work of your kingdom. We ask this in your name. Amen. Just a couple of notices. Please seat. Tomorrow morning after prayers, some of us will share harvest with our preschool. Please pray. Flora tells me that most of them are just two. So pray that they may have a seed planted and that their parents too will hear the good news. And also, as you know, some of us will be heading off to Greece on Tuesday. For those who want to follow us around Greece, I have a handout. It has prayers, it has maps, it tells you roughly where we are. Please hold us in prayer that all of us that travel, not only from this church, will have a blessed time. And we'll come back ready to tell you more about Paul's journey through Greece. Bless you.